Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with part one of the pantograph of Friday, July 10th, 2026. We begin with page one, where the main story is actually a large photograph. We hold these truths. Normal joins nationwide synchronized reading of the Declaration of Independence. And the caption reads, Rick Milner takes part in a public reading of the Declaration of Independence on July 8, 2026 at the Connie Link Amphitheater in Normal. The Sharing the Spirit of America event is a nationwide synchronized reading of the Declaration of Independence commemorating its 250th anniversary. The General Joseph Bartholomew SAR chapter hosted the event. And our next item is about sports in the Twin Cities, and it is headlined, U.S. is out, but soccer fans win with watch parties. This story is Dateline Bloomington. Even though the United States has been eliminated from the 2026 FIFA World Cup, there still will be watch parties in downtown Bloomington at the Brass Pig Smoke and Ale House. The action continues at 2 p.m. Friday when Spain faces off in the quarterfinals against Belgium, the team that knocked out the United States 4-1 in Monday's round of 16. Friday will be fun down here, said John Solberg, owner of the Brass Pig. And then Saturday at 4 p.m., you've got England playing Norway, which Norway, with their star forward, is becoming a fan favorite. In England always brings a fun crowd. The increased foot traffic from the World Cup has been a boon to business at places like the Brass Pig, Solberg said. On Monday, July 7th, we about tripled our usual sales. And then on Wednesday, July 1st, for the outdoor watch party was about 4 or 5 times what we normally do, he said. The Brass Pig has earned a reputation as the official soccer pub of the Twin Cities and is even recognized as an official supporter of London-based Arsenal Football Club through Arsenal America, something that has become the establishment's identity, Solberg said. On Wednesday, July 1st, the Brass Pig hosted a block party when the United States defeated Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0, with a live band and a massive television on the newly renovated downtown circle at Main, with the city of Bloomington and surrounding restaurants hosting hundreds of soccer fans from not only Bloomington Normal, but from all over the state of Illinois. This is the biggest screen I've actually seen, said Jason Wanaberger of Springfield. He and his Chicago-based parents decided to meet in Bloomington as a halfway point for last Wednesday's match. I've watched the World Cup like the last three of them, Wanaberger said. I remember in 2014, I had to ask establishments specifically, are you showing the World Cup? Are you showing this game? And now we have an entire event for it. It's amazing. Downtown construction has had its growing pains, but seeing the new gathering space fully utilized for community events has paid off, said Anthony Vazella. I think it's magnificent. The fact that we have facilities like this now through the city and that we're getting this much support for a game that isn't super popular in the United States is fantastic. Really nice to see. Even some city officials were wowed at the turnout, Solberg said. They've come down here and are just laughing at what we've done. I think this is what they envisioned it doing, the community coming together and celebrating, he said. And it's making Bloomington a special place for the soccer community, said Alizé Valadez. She and Peyton Willey, assistant coach for Illinois State University's women's soccer, were also at the block party last Wednesday. Originally from Aurora, Illinois, they are used to bigger community events, Valadez said. I mean, they do all of this stuff all the time. But not being from here, we love to find these big events out here because we are soccer fans, Valadez added. Soccer is a big, big thing in our lives. And this festivity is just, we love it here. Like, this is great. We are loving this vibe. In addition to the Brass Pig, Three other downtown establishments serve food and drinks at that block party: Wild Oak Social, Moose's Pub, and Bloom Barista. Solberg would like to continue to partner with them on any future block parties, he said, like perhaps the finals match on Sunday, July 19th. It is tough getting all that stuff put together, not knowing what the weather is going to be like, he said, but I would love to do the World Cup final watch party out there on a Sunday at 2 p.m. And our next front page story is about a local business headlined Pop-Up Chicken Owner Leaving, Francis Selling After Holiday Firing and Backlash. This story is Dateline Bloomington. Pop-Up Chicken Shop owner Aaron Francis is stepping down from the brand that he started 8 years ago in Bloomington. The decision comes after Francis faced public backlash over the weekend after firing five employees amid a disagreement over holiday pay. I definitely want to apologize to the community of Bloomington Normal and to every single person that I hurt, Francis said. We all make mistakes. I made mistakes. There are comments that I said that I should not have said, but we are all humans and very emotional. We've all made emotional mistakes. This town and community and area made a really big deal about a chicken shop, and I just hope and pray that one day that we can actually band together with way worse things that's going on in our world rather than a restaurant owner not paying time and a half on 4th of July. Francis said he feels he let a lot of people down, including his mentors and even government officials. However, leaving Pop-Up and putting it up for sale has been on Francis's mind for a while as his health is declining, he said. Francis has been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, which led him to take a step back from day-to-day operations of the business. His managers have been covering daily operations for the last year and a half. Selling the Pop-Up brand includes Pop-Up Chicken Shop at 409 North Hershey Road in Bloomington and at 800 Southwest Adams Street, Suite 106 in Peoria, as well as Pop-Up Hospitality Group, which operates inside Illinois Farm Bureau in the 1701 Cafe and the former KFC building on Prospect Road in Bloomington. Francis has given IFB his 120-day notice that he will be stepping away from operating the 1701 Cafe, and the Illinois Farm Bureau declined to comment. Francis had planned to turn the old KFC into a deli, but decided to sell it about 3 or 4 months ago. He plans to close the sale this week, and the new owners plan to turn the spot into a local fast food Indian restaurant, he said. The Pop-Up Chicken Shop locations will continue to operate as normal without Francis until he finds someone to take it over. Francis said he was already negotiating with about 3 or 4 groups prior to this weekend about selling the brand. Prior to the holiday weekend, Pop-Up had 68 employees between the Bloomington and Peoria locations. I'm definitely making the business decision to appease the town. My number one priority moving forward is to protect my employees that decide to still come to work here, you know, at the end of the day, he said. That is who I have always been. He and the business faced public outcry after a former employee posted to Facebook last weekend criticizing Francis and Pop-Up after she was fired. She said Francis had declined to give employees premium holiday pay for working on Independence Day, despite that expectation being outlined in the employee handbook. Employees were reportedly told they would receive standard pay, as state law does not require premium holiday pay. Five employees were fired after planning a boycott at the business, Francis said in a Facebook post on July 6. I have nothing to say to my past employees that want to falsely drag my name in the dirt, he said in the post, which also included an apology to those five former employees. This incident spurred numerous posts and comments from members of the community taking issue with the treatment of these employees and subsequent reaction from Francis. In the aftermath, he told the Pantograph, I've looked at it. from every single angle possible, we have people still eating here, but not just like how it used to be. And the community response is making an impact, he said. It's still really fresh, but even prior to this weekend, I've already been looking to sell the company, so it's not like this is a new development, Francis said. So, with this weekend happening, I think it's the right move to appease all angles. This was just kind of the icing on the cake. General Manager Eric Salazar will continue to operate Pop-Up Chicken Shop in Bloomington, Francis said. Salazar is the most important person that had been a part of the business beside him, and he wants to protect his role with the company. I would just not be the owner, so I would be selling the brand, the recipes, everything, he said. It would be exactly the same menu, same great food that people love. Salazar has been with Pop-Up for the last 4 years, but had followed Francis's brand since it started at the local VFW. When Salazar asked Francis if he knew anyone looking for a good manager, Francis said he asked at just the right time. Salazar brought his knowledge from previous experience at Medici and Buffalo Wild Wings. He said he believed in Francis's strong ambition to open 5 stores within 5 years, and it really drew him in. The first couple of years were great as business was booming, he said in a phone interview with the Pantograph. Their goal was to value their employees and not look at them as numbers, like they had seen in corporate-owned businesses, and they wanted to pay them well. They also decided against requiring uniforms because they wanted the employees to have their own identity and be like regular people and treat customers as if they're in Pop-Up's living room, Salazar said of their vision of the restaurant. We decided to grow because we felt that was the time, the right move. What ended up happening is we stretched ourselves too thin and we started to become what we were fighting against when we first started. And the thing is, we didn't realize it. We didn't know, he said. We thought we were just pushing the brand forward, you know. There are going to be some rough times here and there. The bigger you get, the harder things get. The manager said, as a business becomes more popular, there's more turnover and more of a target on your back. He and other leaders told their employees they were targeted because they're the best at what they do, but they lost sight of that and did not realize how bad things were, he said. Salazar said he feels he has always been open with his staff and told them they can come to him with anything, but at some point trust was lost. It's sad, it's disheartening, you know. There's nothing we can do about it now, he said. When he and Francis discussed the decision to sell the business, Salazar said, he told me I didn't owe him anything, but I do. He gave me an opportunity that nobody else was giving me. The manager said he is determined to try to rebuild the brand. I said if we can get back just a glimmer of what we once were, then I have to try for that because there are still people showing up to that building to work, he said. I have an obligation to make sure that I fight for them because I still believe in this brand and I still believe the good that it used to be. I think if we could just get half of that back, it would be awesome. Since this weekend, Salazar has been making a point to thank every customer who has come through the door, including putting notes with to-go orders and introducing himself to everyone. He said it's like going back to the roots and hopes people will still come to enjoy the great food. Salazar said he plans to do his best to make sure they come back in the future. After he steps down as owner, Francis said he hopes to move out of state closer to family and start a family of his own with his fiancée. He has also been consulting for the last 8 months and helped to open up a Native American cafe called Sweetgrass Moon Cafe about a month and a half ago near Gun Lake in Michigan. Additionally, the Gun Lake tribe recently opened up a billion-dollar casino just south of Grand Rapids, and Francis consulted on the menu and designed all the recipes, he said. He hopes to continue consulting in the future because creating menus is his favorite thing to do. He said he feels he made something pretty successful in Bloomington Normal and he knows how to operate a restaurant. I want to really, really praise every single customer that has come through Pop-Up Chicken Shop in the 8 years that I've been the owner, Francis said. It has been my life, my blood, sweat, tears that I've given. I can't even walk anymore because of the amount of time I put in this town of just grinding, and I really want to thank the town of Bloomington Normal for literally supporting me throughout the years. It's the end of pop-up with me as the owner, but what I'm trying to do is this is an amazing brand that I built, and people still love it, he continued. They want to come here. They want to come support the brand. They just don't want to come and support me, and I'm okay with that. And our last front page story is an analysis of the Mideast war titled War's End Eludes Trump. Experts say choices limited, mostly bad, for U.S. in the Iran fight. This is a Reuters story, Dateline Washington. President Donald Trump's struggle to extricate himself from the unpopular Iran war hit a new roadblock with fresh attacks between the two sides, leaving him with few good options and a faltering ceasefire. Trump declared an interim agreement to end the conflict was over and ordered fresh strikes Wednesday after Iran targeted U.S. military sites in Bahrain and Kuwait following the U.S. bombing of Iranian targets in response to attacks on tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. More than 3 weeks after the signing of a memorandum of understanding to begin a truce between the U.S. and Iran, the flare-up highlighted the difficulties Trump faces in forging a comprehensive peace deal and an exit from the war. His choices are limited and mostly bad, analysts say. Heavy escalation beyond the tit-for-tat strikes could risk a return to full-fledged war, even though Trump insisted Wednesday that the latest events would end very quickly as global oil prices spiked about 7%. However, backing down in the face of Iranian defiance could add to Tehran's sense that it can assert leverage over the world's most important oil shipping channel. Trump may hope he can bomb Iran back to the negotiating table for talks about the fate of its nuclear program, which he set as his main war objective, but most experts see little sign that Tehran will make the kind of deep concessions that he seeks. Trump has put himself in a box, said Aaron David Miller, a former Middle East negotiator for Democratic and Republican administrations. Whether through military or diplomatic means, he does not look likely to gain much from Iran. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Trump's pursuit of an exit plan comes as he faces pressure to permanently end the war, which killed thousands, inflicted economic pain at home, and driven down his approval ratings just months ahead of November's U.S. midterm elections. A June 23rd Reuters Ipsos poll showed Trump's approval rating falling to 34%, returning to the lowest level of his second term and dimming his Republican Party's chances of retaining control of Congress. The latest attacks, which overshadowed a NATO summit that Trump attended this week in Turkey, dented hopes of turning the memorandum signed June 17th into a final peace deal to end the war, which began February 28th with U.S.-Israeli airstrikes on Iran. Most analysts are skeptical the two sides can craft a comprehensive settlement within the 60-day negotiating window laid out in the document. It kicked the hardest issues down the road to on-again, off-again discussions that made little, if any, progress, and the next round of talks remains uncertain. Iran, which suffered heavy damage to its economy and military capabilities, also faces mounting pressure after Washington revoked a waiver allowing Tehran to sell oil internationally, undoing one of its biggest gains under the interim agreement. Even so, its hardline rulers appear willing to withstand further blows, and some analysts suggested this week's strikes by both sides may aim at staking out positions for future negotiations. Jonathan Panikoff, a former deputy U.S. National Intelligence Officer for the Middle East, said this pattern was likely to continue for the foreseeable future. The situation is not going to revert to full-scale war, said Pantikov, now at the Atlantic Council think tank in Washington. But the default setting is now managed instability, recurring violence with no permanent off-ramp. Trump, who campaigned for a second term on promises to avoid foreign interventions and focus on Americans' economic concerns, framed the interim agreement as a resounding U.S. victory, even as Iran made similar claims. Still, most analysts agreed that Trump, who once demanded Iran's unconditional surrender, was stymied on many of his often shifting goals for the war. At the root of the latest hostilities are differing interpretations of what the preliminary deal means for control of the strait, where Iran showed its ability to choke off one-fifth of the world's oil shipments. Iran sees itself having a future role in managing the waterway, possibly even charging fees or tolls, while Trump and U.S. Gulf allies insist on a return to free and safe passage. The Iranians have judged that Trump does not want to get sucked into an open-ended war, and the Gulf is desperate for normalcy, said John Alterman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies think tank in Washington. Their bet is that Trump will fight for a few days, and the Gulf Arab states will push for him to stop. Concern that high gasoline prices due to the war could turn voters against his Republican Party in the looming U.S. midterms is also widely seen as a pressure point for Trump. Haunted by former U.S. President Herbert Hoover's failed economic stewardship, Trump knows he needs to focus on the economy, said Laura Blumenfeld, a Middle East expert at Johns Hopkins University, referring to Trump's assertion that by continuing the war, he would risk becoming like the president who governed at the start of the Great Depression. And we turn now to some local and state news. This story is headlined, Pack the Park, Stride and Ride Set, Dateline Normal. The Normal Parks and Recreation Department will host its annual Pack the Park and Strike and Ride events Saturday, July 11th. Pack the Park, which is set for 8 to 11 a.m. at 1 Normal Plaza, is held in honor of National Park and Recreation Month and coincides with the Unplug Illinois initiative. The town will also open its streets along a section of Route 66 for Stride and Ride, during which walkers, runners, and cyclists will have rein over the road. The event will take place between the Kelly Detention Basin Trailhead and Sprague Super Service, continuing the celebration of the Route 66 centennial. For both events, several road closures will be in effect. Pine Street will be closed to vehicular traffic from 8 to 11 a.m. Saturday, south of Chippewa Street to Sprague Super Service at 305 Pine Street. The following streets will also be closed to crossing traffic at Pine Street: Walnut Street, Maple Street, North Beach Street, Royal Acres Drives 3, 4, and 5, and Teagan Street. Motorists are asked to detour north to Shelburne or south to Willow Street to reach their destinations. Event parking will be available at the Community Activity Center at 1110 Douglas Street in Normal. Overflow parking will also be offered at Normandy Village at 1100 Beach Street and Hammett School at 612 Oglesby Avenue. The town has a variety of other events planned for National Park and Recreation Month, including a scavenger hunt and Rocky the Rattler taking place all month long in town and at Hidden Creek. Other events include Movie Night Moonlight, 7:30 p.m. July 10th at the Connie Link Amphitheater. Bird Walk, 7:30 a.m. of July 11th at the Maxwell Park Pavilion. Family Pickleball Clinic, 9 to 11 a.m. July 11th at Underwood Park. Putt for Dough, 10 to 11 a.m. July 11th at Ironwood Golf Course. Superhero Day, noon to 3 p.m. July 11th at the Carriker Aquatic Center. Aqua Zumba, 7 to 8 p.m. July 15th at the Anderson Aquatic Center. Bird Outing, 7:30 a.m. July 18th at Hidden Creek Park. Debit Shout at Bingo, 1 to 3 p.m. July 18th at the Community Activity Center. Nightbugs, 9 to 10:30 p.m. July 18th at Underwood Park. Puzzle Palooza, 3 to 5 p.m. July 19th at the Community Activity Center Social Room. Central Illinois Cricket, 3 to 5 p.m. July 24th at the Kelly Detention Basin. And Plant Talk, 9 to 10 a.m. July 25th at the Normandy Gardens at 1 Normal Plaza. And this story's headline, Bloomington Normal Woman Admits Trying Voter Fraud. A Bloomington woman must complete community service after she pleaded guilty to attempting to commit voter fraud in the 2024 election. Sunita R. Sood, 56, initially was charged in September after authorities discovered she had voted in two different states in that election. She faced three Class 3 felony counts of voter fraud during her initial appearance, and a Class A misdemeanor of attempting to commit voter fraud was added. She pleaded guilty to the misdemeanor, and her other three charges were dismissed by the prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney Aaron Frederick. Judge William Yoders issued a sentence of 24 months of court supervision and 30 hours of community service for this offense, and Sood was represented by attorney Stephanie Wong. And man charged with cocaine delivery. A Bloomington man has been released from custody on drug charges. Robbie D. Barrett, 37, appeared Wednesday afternoon before Judge Amy McFarland, charged with three counts of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, involving 1 to 15 grams of cocaine, Class 1 felonies, three counts of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, Schedule 3 narcotics, Class 2 felonies. According to court records, these offenses are dated May 19th, 29th, and July 6th. The prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt, did not file a petition to detain the defendant, asking he be released with mandatory and discretionary conditions. Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace agreed to stipulate to the probable cause statement, and formal readings were waived. Barrett agreed to abide by the mandatory conditions and the discretionary conditions, to report to pretrial services for supervision and not consume or possess alcohol, cannabis, or a controlled substance without a valid prescription. And he is scheduled for an arraignment at 9 a.m. July 31st. And here is today's Flick Fact question. More central Illinois farmland is sprouting wind turbines and solar arrays instead of crops. How much can a landowner earn by leasing acreage instead of actually planting corn or soybeans? And solar leases in Illinois typically pay $1,000 to $2,000 per acre each year, according to U.S. Light Energy. That means a 100-acre solar lease could generate between $100,000 to $200,000 a year. Wind turbines, first installed in McLean County in 2007, generally pay about $8,000 to $9,000 per turbine per year, although newer agreements are bringing $30,000 to $40,000 annually, according to Compeer Financial. Most leases run 25 to 30 years, providing a dependable income regardless of crop prices or the weather. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, July 10th, 2026. I look forward to reading part two with you next.